We are here today with Gil Penalosa, the founder and chair of 880 Cities and an ambassador for World Urban Parks. Gil, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I understand you are here for the Oregon Age Friendly Summit. Can you tell me about that event?
Yes, it's a summit to try to get people from across the state to talk about the possibility of both the state becoming an age-friendly state as well as every municipality within the state to become age-friendly. Age-friendly basically thinks that it should be communities that are good for everybody, that are good for babies, for toddlers, for 8-year-olds, for 80-year-olds, for anybody. The reality is that in the last 80 years or so, we have been building communities thinking more on car mobility than on people's happiness. And we have not really building good communities. We need to stop building communities as if everybody was 30-year-old and athletic and build communities that are good for everyone.
So what kind of initiatives do you take to make that happen?
Well, the first thing is to be very consistent. When we say we want a community for everyone, okay, let's make sure that it's for everyone. For example, the crosswalks, the sidewalks, the bikeways, the public transit. For example, this is really, really important because we're living a lot longer. Every single day in the U.S., 10,000 people are turning 65.
Wow.
So we're living longer, and the segment of the population that is growing the fastest in Oregon is the people over 65. And even more, percentage-wise, the people over 80. So, you know, one of the things that is happening is that I would say the biggest waste of resource that we have in America are the older people. People retire and we cross them out as if they had died, when they got 20, 30, 40 years left, and they have knowledge and they have experience and they are healthier and in many cases wealthier, and they could be magnificent assets. They could be teaching English to immigrants. They could be tutoring kids in the schools. They could be organizing activities in the parks. They could be doing so many. So we need to take advantage of this. And for this to happen, we need to make everything good for people of all ages. For example, walking. Nothing as basic as walking. Every trip begins and ends by walking. We walk to places. We walk to the car. We walk to public transit. We walk to the bike. We walk everywhere. That's how human beings were created. Just like the birds fly or the deer runs, people, we walk. So we need to make walking safe. And it is not safe. Too many people are being hit by drivers with their cars. And that should not happen. That is totally unacceptable. That is not they are not accidents. They are incidents because they could be avoided. So we need to develop in each municipality in Oregon a way that no one, whether they are walking or cycling or in transit or in cars, no one should die in any traffic incident.
Okay. And so what are some of the challenges that older folks face in the infrastructure that we have right now?
Well, there are many. Like one of them is walking. Too many people are dying, especially in crosswalks, either because we don't have enough time to cross, so we need to be able to have more time, or they don't have enough light, or the sidewalks. Coming to here, I saw some e-scooters on the middle of the sidewalk. Well, that's fine if I can just walk over those e-scooters. But if I was blind, I could have tripped and I could have fall and I'm breaking a leg or whatever. So we should. Those are simple things. There should not be one e-scooter in the middle of a sidewalk. If somebody leaves it in the middle of the sidewalk, it should be picked up by the city and confiscated for 90 days and have a fine for it or something. But that is something that is simple. We need sidewalks that are flat, crosswalks that have enough time, that have lights. We need public transit that are accessible for everyone. We need also to have activities in the parks. For example, in the parks, we did a study across the U.S. The segment that uses the parks the least are the older people. People over 60 are around 20% of the population of the U.S., but are only 4% of the park users. Why? It's because there are not enough things to do in the parks for older people. For older people are not asking for much. They're asking, for example, for walking path. every single park in Portland and in Oregon should have a walking path. And with a small sign of how many miles or how many quarter mile or whatever each lap and how many if you do a few laps. But in addition of the walking path, we need to have bed and ideally have restrooms and have a water fountain. And it's not only about the hardware. It seems to me that in many cities, it seems easier to find $500,000 or $1 million to do a park than to find a few thousand to make it work. The few to make it work is the programs, is the activities. I say, oh, let's do movies in the park, or we don't have money. Let's do walking groups, or we don't have money. No, we do need to have money. It's absolutely necessary that we have money to develop activities in the parks.
So I know at the summit there was this idea that was brought up that is called aging in place. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. There are many surveys in the U.S., and around 90% of the people in the U.S. want to live in their own home for as long as possible. They want to age in place. And part of aging in place, for example, is mobility. People, when they lose their driver's license because of physical disabilities, sometimes the impact is as much as if they were told that they had cancer. And it's not because they love mobility. I mean, it's not because they love their car. It's because they love mobility. They want to continue shopping in the same stores, visiting the same friends. So in order to do that, people have to have access to walking to places, to riding bicycles, or to using public transit. So we need public transit that has frequency and that has connectivity all over the city. But also we need to have cities that are good, that everything could be within walking distance. So if it's not within walking distance, we need to have public transit. But ideally, in any city, anywhere, we should be able to have all the basic needs within a 10-minute walk. A park, a grocery store, public transit, a school, a library, and so on. That is really the measure of having a livable community.
Is there an example of a city that does that well?
Well, there are many. For example, cities like San Francisco have every single person has a park within walking distance. We need to work. We need to make sure on that. Places, for example, activating parks. You go to places like Copenhagen, and in Copenhagen, half of the parks have an activator from 3:30 in the afternoon to 5:30 so that children can go to the park and someone will organize activities. Also, there are many cities that have activities for the older people, but building the walking path is not enough. Sometimes people say, oh, but I see people using it. Yeah, you see the few that are using it. You don't see the many that are not. There are so many benefits. For example, a big issue is loneliness. Older people, loneliness at all ages is a big crisis, but especially older adults. And when people are lonely, the Surgeon General of the U.S. said that the physical impact is the same as if people smoke 15 cigarettes in one day. In addition of that, it increases by twice the probability of having dementia. So we need to fight the issue of loneliness, and a big part of it is by organizing activities. If we do knitting in the park, walking in the park, whatever, those groups, the activity is an excuse. At the end of the day, people are going is because they are lonely. When there is, now with climate change, there's a lot of crisis. In the crisis, the people that are most affected are the older people. So we need to have social connections. So this is something that is really, really important. I mean, we need everybody to have healthy lives. So, for example, living close to nature, having nature everywhere, at home, on the sidewalks, on the place of work. Another thing, people need to sleep well, nutrition. But also, people need to be physically active. The reality is that people want a magic pill. There is no magic pill. The magic pill is called physical activity. And it's not about doing marathons. All we need is children to do 60 minutes a day and adults only 30 minutes a day. And even those 30 minutes don't have to be at one time. It can be 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon. But that is the magic pill, to do physical activity 5 or more days a week. And the reality is that there is only one way how communities across Oregon, whether they are big cities like Portland or smaller ones, that are going to be physically active. And it's if people walk or bike as a normal part of everyday life. That's why we need to really work on walking and cycling. that it be safe and enjoyable by people of all ages and all conditions. This is not just for the 20 to 50 in spandex, but is for the novice riders, for the walkers with disabilities, because that is how we are going to be able to live healthier and happier.
In Portland specifically, what sorts of things are we doing well and what could we be doing better?
Well, first, I want to clarify that Portland is doing many things well. But Portland, I would say that the biggest problem in Portland is that there is a myth of excellence. That develops a complacency that people say, oh, we're good. No, in many areas you are good, but you are not great. There's a lot of places to improve. Of course, Portland, if you want to look for cities that are worse than Portland, in 5 minutes you can do a list of 1,000 cities. But if you compare yourself with cities that are worse, eventually you're going to look like those. No, Portland has to become a world-class city in every way. I think that Portland should say, okay, which cities have similar income, similar weather, similar conditions? Which one has the best quality of life for children? Which one has the best level of happiness for older people? Which has the best quality of air, the best tree canopy, the best levels of physical activity, the best in everything, and be as good? For example, riding bicycles. Portland is good compared with most American cities. I mean, if Portland wants to be better than Houston in cycling, you don't need to do anything for the next 50 years and you will still be good. No, Portland needs to benchmark with Copenhagen. I mean, what does Copenhagen have that Portland doesn't? Copenhagen is cold in the winter. I mean, Copenhagen is cold in the winter, it's hot in the summer, it rains all year. And 41 out of 100 trips are done on bicycles, more than about 4.5 times more than Portland. So Portland, there is a it could substantially improve on cycling. Even though it's good, it's not great. So I think that Portland in some areas needs a little bit dose of homelessness and to realize, no, we are good, but we got, I mean, Copenhagen is at 41%. Even though it's the best for a large city, they are saying, no, that's not good enough. We want to go to 50%. So there is always room for improvement. So I would say that there is a lot of good things, such as that biking and walkability. Portland also has a lot of things that are walkable. Portland has good park system. 9 out of 10 people in Portland have a park within walking distance, and that is good. But I would say that there's a lot of things also that it can improve. For example, in Oregon, including Portland, 25 years ago, there was only 9% obesity. 9 out of 100 people were. Today is 29%. So it went only from 9 to 20. And what is the issue? Is that obesity is related to diabetes, to heart attacks, to respiratory problems, to depression, to anxiety. So there's a lot of things that could be improved. So also in issues such as not only physical health, but mental health, the quality of the air, the environment. So I think that although there's a lot of really good things happening in Portland, Portland also has to be humble enough to realize that it can also improve in almost everything.
Okay. And to switch gears back to talking about older folks, how is the baby boomer generation different from older generations in the past? And how does that impact policies and planning in our communities?
Well, one is that the baby boomer is huge, is very, very large. And so that is, it's increasing substantially, the older people. It's important for everyone that is listening to understand that we are living much longer than recently. The people that have ever lived to 65, half are alive today. I mean, if we had been born in the U.S. 150 years ago, which is nothing. I mean, we've been around for 200,000 years. So in 200,000 years up until 150 years ago, the life expectancy in the U.S. was 39. Today, the life expectancy is around 80 years old. So we're living much longer. With regards to the baby boomer, with the baby boomers, I think it's a magnificent generation that can do a lot of things. And now we see students, such as the high school students in Florida, doing demonstrations against the NRA and so on. Regardless if you are for or against the topic, it's interesting the power that they're gaining. We've seen this girl, Greta, from Sweden, doing the demonstrations on the environment, which is fantastic. But let's settle down. Greta at 16 and the high school students must be going to school. It's not their job to fix the issue of climate change. So it's for all of the adults, from people that are 20 to over 100. With regards to the baby boomers, I think that the people that are retired, could be magnificent. We should be working a lot on how to influence all of these issues. People want to leave a legacy. People want to leave a world for their children, for their grandchildren, that might be better than the current one. Let's keep in mind that those boomers were the hippies of the 60s and 70s. There was a lot of generosity. We saw a lot of white people marching for racial equality. We saw men marching for gender equality. So we got to find a way to reignite that flame and get people working on these issues that are going to make the world better. We need to stop climate change and make it better. We need to work on issues of mental and physical health. There's a lot of big topics that we need to work on, and I think that the boomers could be actually the leading force around it. I think the boomers cannot just sit back and relax and say, oh, I'm so happy that the young people are acting. Oh, it's fantastic that they are acting. But the boomers have 20, 30 years ahead of them, and they have experience and they have knowledge, and they also have a responsibility to assume a lot of these roles, and they also have a lot of time. So they have time to go to the public meetings, to write emails, to make phone calls to the radio stations, to take part of it, and to work in sync with the younger generations. These are such gigantic problems that is not an issue of just one generation, but is how to mix generations. And that is, I think, something that the boomers could do.
Well, thank you, Gil, so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
We have been speaking with Gil Penalosa, the founder and chair of 880 Cities, ambassador for the World Urban Parks, about the recent Oregon Age Friendly Summit and how communities can be better suited to folks of all ages. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.